Blog Talk Radio.
It's your man Beast Bump Gun live on this Friday, October 26, 2018, 9 p.m. Man, it feels good to be back on. Feels good to holler at y'all on this Friday night. It's terrible weather out here. I hope it's beautiful wherever y'all at. I hope it's enjoyable wherever y'all at, because it is rough out here. We got like 30 mile per hour winds. We got rain soaking everywhere, but we still want to have a good time tonight. You know, it's the off ramp, the show for the people, about the people, that embodies the people. Tonight we talk about every night we talk about a different range of subjects, whether it just be what I want to talk about, what's going on in the world, whether it's sports, but you know, it could also be about what you want to talk about, what's on your mind, what's on your chest. So I got a couple few people with me tonight, called in early. I like it when the callers call in early and we can get a good discussion going on, because we usually schedule this for about an hour, but depending how the conversation goes, it could last for a couple hours, and I still got to take my hair out, so I'm good to be on for a couple hours. So we got a caller coming in from the 856. What's going? You live on the off-ramp. What's good?
Yo, man, I'm going to need you not to talk about pulling your hair out, brother.
Oh, man, you got cornrows, man. This is Africa's hair. This is what happened when we were in the Congo. You had to get your hair braided up when you went to war, and then you had to take it out to get all the mites and stuff out. What's good, man? What's good? How you holding up, my brother?
You got mites in your head.
Huh?
There you go.
Sounds good, sounds good. We also got another caller from the 512. What's good? You on the offer. What's good, bro?
Man, bro, you got mites in your hair? That's what's happening right now?
Nah, when we was in the Congo, you had mites in the hair, man.
Nowadays, you
got to make sure you don't got dandruff.
Head and shoulders, brother. Head and shoulders. That's what it's there for.
Yo, can black? I always thought head and shoulders wasn't for black people. Could black people use head and shoulders?
I mean, we can. That's pretty much all. We can't use the Garnier fruit piece, so we pretty much left with head and shoulders.
The what?
The other stuff they had commercials for, man. I'm just saying.
The
green bottle. Yeah, Google it.
Yo, man, you gotta stop. You gotta get out your chick's hair product drawer. Yeah, 'cause I don't know what you talking about. But yeah, man. So it's a good Friday night. Glad to have Javiani and Fat Dude on tonight, talking about some things. I got a couple of things in my mind I want to talk about. But I open the floor to you two gentlemen. Anything in particular that you guys want to get into, or you just want to go off what I want to go into?
I ain't got nothing.
I mean, we can do like we do. We can just go off the cuff or whatever the conversation takes us.
All right.
Yes, sir.
So I want to wait for a female to get online, but because there's a question about relationships that I really want to get into. And I want to into it from just a theoretical sense. But we're not going to get into that right now. So first, let's talk, since it's just us guys on the line, let's talk some Let's talk some hoops, man. What's up?
Can we get into the Rondo Chris Paul thing? Can we get into the Rondo Chris Paul thing? I mean, if we're going to go to my sport, we need to get to the Rondo Chris Paul. Did he actually spit on him?
He had to spit on him, yo. There's no way he didn't spit on him.
Was it on purpose?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Spitting on someone is the highest level of disrespect. It's this.
Okay, I had that debate with somebody earlier today. Yeah, okay, go ahead, finish, because I think you're about to say what I think you're about to say. Go ahead.
The only thing worse than spitting on another human being is telling them to suck your dick. Now, homosexuals might not be in this conversation, right? Homosexuals might not be part of this conversation, but as the heterosexual society, the only thing worse than spitting on another human being, because, like, you know, back in the day, Magic couldn't play in the NBA league because he thought that, you know, you accidentally spit on somebody, you can get AIDS that way. Like, spit is serious.
Right.
Saliva is serious. You can get herpes like that, you know. Like, what if Rondo had herpes and spit on Chris Paul's mouth? Now Chris Paul's wife think he's cheating because he got that bump on his lip.
Because he got that boy on his lip.
And it don't go away. Hey, y'all talk about
real quick.
I gotta go sing my. I forgot that it's Friday night and my son stayed up late. I gotta go sing him a song. Don't let it be dead down. I'll be back in 30 seconds.
Daddy duty. Daddy duty. Nah, we gonna tease you about the daddy duty though. Like, he gonna sing. I need to hear you sing.
I know, right?
I know you a long time. I never heard him sing. We need to get back into that. Like, we need to get back into that. But nah, I think my opinion on it is this. Because I've heard some cats talk about it. I think the thing that's worse than that. So if you kick somebody in the nut, you kick them in the nut, hit them in the nut, I think that's lower than spitting on somebody. Like,
as a dude, though,
like, you don't go to the man region.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Would you rather be spit in the face or have somebody hit you in the nut?
Nah, I don't want nobody to take my grab or kick me in my nut.
Right.
Nobody.
So that's
y'all back.
You know, that's what we do with Mr. Happy Time. You mess up Mr. Happy Time, then wife is leaving.
You can't mess with Fun City down there. Like, nah, that's lower than spitting on somebody to me.
What? Good night, buddy. What are y'all talking about, y'all?
Getting hit in the nut, man. Would you rather get spit in the face or hit in the nut?
Oh, man. I mean, it depends. Do I got kids or not? Am I married? Because if I'm married, you can kick me in my nut, Joe, because I don't need them no more. But if I'm not married, then I'm single.
Yo, you're killing me.
Well, what you mean
you
don't need them no more? What if you don't work
yo,
anymore?
Yo, you're killing me. So if you're a bachelor, you'd rather get spit in the face. But if you're you'd rather get hit in the nut.
And I'm out this. If I'm still in that single life and I'm out in the streets still slanging and banging, you'll leave my nuts alone, yo.
So you giving me the case by case basis?
Yeah, it all depends. It all depends, yo.
But can we agree they're on the same level though? Can we agree it's on the same level?
You got damn right.
Disrespect wise, no, they're not on the same level. Because kicking somebody in the nuts is just physically hurting, but there's no rules in fighting. Like, if we got into a tussle and I kick you in your nuts because I'm just trying to win a fight, then, you know, it just is what it is, yo. Like, I'm not going to kick you in your nuts while I'm beating you up because that's
about somebody
evil,
just in your face talking trash and then they just haul off and just kick you in the nuts. Like, no warning, no provocation, no nuts. Like,
yeah. If somebody hauls off and kicks you in the nuts, like, off top, then they're probably scared for their life. Because as a man, that's like the last resort. I'm going to stand toe to toe.
So you're saying that's a sign of respect then? So you're saying that's a sign of the utmost respect?
Yeah, because as a man, if somebody want to tussle, I'm going to stand toe to toe with you, and we're going to tussle. And if I take the L, I hope that as a man you just get off, you know, and you just, you know, all right, yo, you got that one. But, like, if I'm going to tussle with you and off break you kick me in my nuts, that shows to me that you felt like, you know, you was going to take that L regardless and you just wasn't trying to go there.
No grown man hauls off and just kicks him.
That's the scare
man
tactic right there. That's the scare man tactic right there. Yeah, you bigger than me. I'm going for your soft spots.
Yeah, you kick, kick somebody in the nuts and you run. That's what
so
I tell
just hit you.
You run into a fifth grader.
Yeah, you go to the soft spots.
Yo, you did not tell Jules that. Yo, come on.
Oh yeah, I told my son if he runs into a fifth grader at his new school and if he got a bully, we don't get bullied. You kick him his nuts and you be out. You fast. Don't try to take on no fifth grader. You're going to take an L. You ain't going to win that one yet, yo. You got to be smart,
yo.
Kick him in the nuts.
Oh, my God.
You out.
But I got another one, though, man. Being slapped in the face is different. That's going to set me off.
Like open hand?
Open hand. That's disrespect.
Yeah.
That's disrespect.
Backhand. Like which one's worse?
Yeah.
Open hand, like front or backhand?
Both.
I think the backhand is worse than open hand. I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like either way, like you being bit all the way, like it's like it's just
that's
complete and utter disrespect.
Yeah. So like the whole thing, like with him spitting. I don't know. I didn't see any spit. I didn't see him form his face or whatever to spit. Now, it could have been an accident because, you know, when you're talking with mouthpiece in your mouth, sometimes it comes
saliva
flying.
Does come out. Yeah, it does.
Exactly. And it's not intentional because it didn't look like he intentionally did it. They probably was jawing at each other. And as he was talking, some of it flare out. Just like when you at lunch and somebody just yap, and you see stuff fly out their mouth while they're talking. Like, whoa,
chicken nuggets fly
and then
out
some people. Right. But some people will stop and say, I'm sorry, because, you know, you don't know when it's going to happen. It just happens. Now, the disrespect comes when Chris Paul put his little raggedy finger right in his face. That's why he got stolen, because I would have did the same
thing.
Yeah,
that's why
Rondo put his little raggedy finger in my face. That's just not
can
what
we
happened.
Get to the history of these two, though? They've hated each other since childhood. Like, they've been playing against each other their whole life. Like, they've hated each other forever.
But hold on. You can't blame Chris Paul for putting his finger in his face if he felt like he got spit on personally.
Yeah, but why the delayed reaction? Like, you know, so why wipe the spit off your face or pretend to wipe the spit off your face, keep on talking, and then, like, a light bulb goes off like he a cartoon or something. He's like, oh, shit, like, let me put my finger in his face and do something.
He might have wanted to give him that respect, like, yo, you're not going to disrespect me and spit on me. You know better. We don't do that. And then
I don't think
Rondo
he spit on him on purpose.
Stole him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think he did it on purpose, man. But at the same time, still, if you feel like you got
because
to
if you
him,
spit on somebody, you expect them to retaliate. And Rondo didn't.
Right.
He didn't move. He didn't blink. He was still running his mouth, unless he just thought, you know, Chris Paul wasn't built like that. He wasn't gonna do nothing. That's a different conversation.
Right.
Yo, Rondo looks like he belongs in Jurassic Park. Yo, that kid is a muscle face dude.
He got muscles on his face, though.
He's got to be on steroids, yo.
They all
on steroids.
You on something?
Yeah, I feel like he spit on his face, whether intentionally or not. You gonna if it's a rival, you automatically gonna think that it was on purpose. But
yeah.
Chris Paul got
true.
He got punch him in his face off top.
Right.
Yeah. Out the gate. If you think somebody disrespected you, you got to punch him in his face off top. Can we talk about the young kid, though, coming from the right, just out of nowhere throwing a haymaker? Can we talk about Brandon
Ingram?
Yo, I have all the respect for the young boy now. Because in my head, millennials don't do stuff like that. You know, they give me the James Harden treatment. Did you see what James Harden was doing, just standing off on the side? Like, yeah, I don't want no part, none of this.
James Harden backed up all.
Is James Harden a millennium or is he our age?
Nah, he's younger than us. He's younger than us. He's a millennial. So it's after 81. I think it's 82 or later.
Oh, okay. I'm about to say because I saw somewhere where they started at 80. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. When the 80 babies get grouped up in?
Yeah,
in
they keep moving it. They keep moving it.
Yeah.
Millennials wasn't even a thing when we were kids. We were Generation X.
Right. That's
and now they're
like
trying to put us in this. I have never gotten a participation trophy. So by that stance alone, I feel like I'm not a millennial. Like, I've never gotten a ribbon or anything just for participating. Like, oh, good job. Here's your trophy. I never got one of those.
Bro,
but see,
we grew up and we struggled without technology, though. We struggled. We had regular TVs. We didn't have digital TVs. I had antennas
with foil on it, yep.
Exactly.
Bro, hold on. That's
a black and white
true,
TV
though.
With knobs. The VHS.
I was the remote.
Yo, that's not true, yo. Because
right.
Our generation, we had pagers, we had Game Boys. Like, we ushered
but that was
in
later, though. That was in the 90s, though. That was
okay,
in the 90s.
So we were at the dawn. We were at the dawn of modern technology. I'll give you that.
Right.
We were the dawn of modern technology.
We were the test dummies.
Yeah, like our video games.
But,
we
awesome.
Damn sure were
double,
the test dummies.
Double Dribble.
Double
Dribble was amazing. As far as technology was when we were kids, yo. Like, we had
it
technology
was.
As kids, though. Now, we didn't
it was.
Right, but it
like
wasn't.
These kids have.
Right. But see, but that's
but
what I'm saying. Like, we still,
like, you
difference.
Can put your face in the game now. Like, you can literally put your own face in the video game now. Like, I would have never thought about that when I was playing Double Dribble and Tecmo Bowl. Pac-Man.
No.
You know, I'm on my Atari. Yeah, I got a joystick and one orange button. Now the controller's got 22 buttons on them. Crazy.
Yeah, yo. The game's off the hook.
And that don't stop us from playing it, though. It don't stop us from playing it.
No.
I just finished the game yesterday, yo, where,
but,
like, it's crazy how,
right.
like, games have come because, you know, you used to play a game and you'd be the good guy, they'd be the bad guy, and at the end, you win, Contra, you win, everybody cheers, yo.
I just
finished the game last night. These motherfuckers set off a nuclear bomb, yo. Like, I won the game and still lost.
What was you playing?
I was like, Far Cry 5.
I heard that game was tough, though. I did hear that game was tough. I need to play it.
Yeah, it's off the hook.
Too much for me.
Like, it's crazy, man. It's a great game. It was one of the best games I've ever played, but it was just funny. It's like, at the end, they give you these options. And the option, I was like, all right, I want to resist. I want to be the good guy. I want to kill the bad guy. And I was like, okay, you don't kill the bad guy. And he sets off the nuclear bomb that destroys the entire area. And now you're his sex slave. Like, that was like the end of the game, you know.
Now you're the sex slave. God damn.
What the hell?
Yeah, yeah. He said it's just me and you now, and you're my family because you killed all of my family. Yeah, you're handcuffed to a pipe like Rick.
Yeah,
James
I will definitely be choosing a different ending when I play that game.
Well, the funny thing is, I googled the other endings, right? So the other ending is like so you get three choices, right? You either resist, well, you get two choices. You either resist or you take your friends away with you. So. Like, your friends are captured by him. He's like, look, you can take your friends away and, you know, we'll just let God be God. Or you can resist and try to fight me and rescue your friends. So, like, I fought, resist, rescue my friends, and that motherfucker still let off a nuclear bomb. The other end
Yo.
Is, like, if you don't resist and just walk away, you know, you can save your friends. So, like, you're driving away and, like, the whole game is about, like, them – like hypnotizing you, so like you keep getting hypnotized and killing your own people. It's crazy. So it's like, it's like right wing Trump people, but they're smart. So oh man, I got touched out. So like at the end of the game, it's like I leave with all my friends, and then the trance happens, and everything turns red, and I go to kill all my friends. So it's like either way you lose, Joe.
So you got
no
you got put,
game,
you got
I immediately don't want to play that game.
Yeah, it's a great.
So you,
it's a great
you
game,
got put
yo.
In the sunken. You got put in the sunken yo, place.
Right,
like,
right,
get out.
Right, get out.
Yeah, this ain't for kids, yo. I wouldn't tell you about kids. I know, Fat Dude, you got kids. Don't let your kids play it. Jai, you probably got loose kids running in the streets. Don't let them play it.
I got no kids running around here. Stop trying to put me in that water with y'all, man.
Hey man, yeah, you got some kids eating beignets somewhere, yo.
Hey, if they my kids, I would know it because they'd all be 7 feet tall. There ain't no 7 footers running around here looking like I'm good.
I mean, there's a couple of them in the league that's Mr. Fathers. Yo, you got some height on you.
Yo, you stupid.
But truthfully, yo,
This is the same game. Now, not last game. Last game didn't give you a choice. You kind of just had to finish it how it was and you win. But the game before that, so Far Cry 3, you know, that ending was crazy. It was like you became like you was on vacation with your homies, and they kidnapped like you and your homies, and like made y'all like sex prisoners. It's a crazy game.
Yo, no, they weren't the sex prisoners. I said the theme coming with the sex prisoners and sex slaves.
Yeah, but you're like you're a prisoner, right? So they kidnap you
and
your
friends.
Am I a prisoner?
But you some badass women. That's all I needed.
Yeah. So hear me out. So, like, you're a prisoner, right? But you get away, right? So you're a prisoner of this cult on an island. Like, you're, like, they do it like you're white in this foreign island. Yeah, so you're a native in this island. You're out there partying, having fun. You know, you're white, you're cultured. You got all this, you know, money. And then these natives is like, man, fuck it. We kidnapping you. You got money. So we kidnap all y'all, right? But you get away. But when you get away, you find yourself in the hands of the rival natives, right? And there's this one chick, and she bad. She bad to be like a computer native chick. And she, like, trains you to become a native. So then you end up becoming king of the natives, right? So at the end of the game, so it's like your natives versus their natives. So at the end of the game, you get a choice. You either get your friends and leave the island, or you become the king of all the natives because you beat down the other natives. So now you become king of all the natives and you got to kill your friends, right? So I chose to kill my friends and become king of all the natives, right?
Oh, that's dirty.
Yo, you're bad. Dirty.
So I killed my friends. I became king of all the natives and then it cuts to a scene, right? And she's like having sex with me. And then, like, I come in her, and she's like, now I got the seed of the rightful king. And then she stabs me in my heart, and I die.
Oh, gosh.
Like, that was the end.
That's
of
terrible.
Game,
that's terrible.
That's awful. That's awful, dude.
I highly recommend it. But I'm so glad we only had Tetris, yo.
Yeah, man.
I'm glad we only had Tetris. That's why you got to be
careful. You said we only had Tetris?
Yeah, I'm glad we only had Tetris.
Yeah, I still play
that game. That's a pretty good game. But yeah, man. So the NBA season's off to a good start, man. So who's y'all picked to win the West? Everybody going with the Warriors?
Nah, I'm done with them, man. I've been done with them for a couple of years.
Well, who do you think is going to win?
I think they're going to win. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Right. Because, I mean, it's not many people. I mean, only team probably can hang with them is probably Utah, maybe.
It's a couple teams that can hang with them. I don't have anybody beating them in a 7-game series. I mean, that's where it comes to play. Like, yeah, you can take a game or two, but in a 7-game series, I don't have anybody in the West beat them in a 7.
Does Trevor Ariza mean that much to the Rockets that they were one game Chris Paul injury away from last year?
Yes.
And now they lost Trevor Ariza and now they don't have a chance?
Not none whatsoever.
What about Boston?
They were bad. What, beating
the
Warriors?
I'm not sold on Boston. I think there are possibly two teams that could beat them in a 7-game series, and Boston's one of those teams, but everything has to go right for Boston, and that game 7 has to be in Boston.
Right. Yep. They got to get that home court.
Yeah, I feel like
they have the youth, they have the defense, they have the scoring to be able to keep up with them. But, you know, when it comes, I think Kyrie's the X factor.
Yeah.
And so to that point, I don't even know if he's healthy. I think they can win, but I don't even know if you're Boston. I don't even know if you keep Kyrie. To be honest, I would probably trade him. They don't need him.
Yo, Keith Murray's a ball player, yo. Rozier can definitely play, yo.
Yo, you call him Keith Murray? Really? Oh,
yeah. He looked just.
I don't know what's worse,
Murray,
the fact that you call him Keith Murray or that I knew who you were talking about.
Yeah, that's all. Like Rozier.
Yo, wobbity wobbity.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't really need him.
Yeah, he looks just like Keith Murray, though. He looks exactly like Keith Murray. Like Keith Murray definitely take a test, yo. Like, have you seen Keith Murray?
Not in a while.
He looked bad at that. He looked bad at that last battle. But, yeah, man, I mean, I think Boston got a shot, man. Tatum looks like he's the next coming, man.
Yeah,
he's monster,
next.
Yo.
He's next in line. Boston's problem is they're going to have a hard time getting past Toronto.
They ever have a hard time what?
Getting past Toronto.
I don't know. Toronto's good.
Yeah, they are, but, you know, Kyle Lowry got – he has a habit of disappearing in the playoffs.
I don't think that's going to happen this year.
Well, that's only against LeBron.
I don't think that's going to happen this year.
You don't think so?
I mean, he's only
– you think he got the
– Kawhi is so much of an upgrade over DeMar DeRozan. There's no disrespect to DeMar. DeMar, he's the mid-range game king. But Kawhi is so much better than DeMar. And I think from Kyle Lowry's standpoint, I think him having DeMar there, like, allowed him to use DeMar as a crutch. He can't do that with Kawhi.
True. We'll see. And then, I mean, what's the name is playing pretty good, too? What's the boy who was at the Thunder?
Them Sixers. Let's go in.
Oh, Ibaka, Danny Green.
Yeah.
I mean, they deep, man. Like, I want to believe in the Sixers, man. Like, I really do, but they still too young. Like, the first few games of the season, they still making the same mistake they were making in the playoffs last year, which tells me they ain't put in no work this summer.
Ben Simmons need to work on the mid range. He needs a mid range game. He can't keep going to the hoop all the time. You need a mid range game because not everybody relies on
that.
They can't
stop him though. I'm not like they can't. They can't stop that kid though. That kid is the truth.
He is.
That
he still needs that mid range. He still needs that mid range.
About 2 more years, he'll have a mid range.
And then. We need to get rid of that daggone Covington, man. That kid, oh, my gosh, he be killing me sometimes, man. Like, man, if you don't sit that guy down somewhere.
Y'all need Covington, man. He stretches the floor. Like, he's one of the best catch-and-shoot three-point shooters in the league. Like, y'all need that. Because Ben keeps driving, because Ben drives, he needs somebody to kick to.
Hey,
you know I'm telling the truth. That's why you over there getting that side.
Yeah. I just that guy
let's put the sports conversation on for a quick pause. We got another wonderful guest that just joined us.
Shannon,
good evening. How you doing tonight, man?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Long time no hear. How's everything?
Everything's good.
Oh, good, good. Well, we have Javiani, a fat dude, on with us tonight.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
So, Shannon, good to hear you, bro. I want to switch gears since we have a good political female inside in the building. So, fellas, I'm going to shift the conversation from sports. Shannon, unless you want to comment on the NBA season that happened upon us, you guys think you want to talk about the NBA?
The only thing I saw was Rondo hit somebody and James Harden run away.
Yeah! I like already.
That's all I saw. And then I heard the wives and the girlfriends were fighting in the stands.
Chris Paul's wife.
You all right with me, Shannon? You all right with me?
Well,
one thing about that, though,
I would have been mad at LeBron, though, man, because he went over there consoled Chris Paul, man. Yo, you my teammate. You're supposed to be over here with me. Damn, man.
Yeah,
he won't run over there with Chris Paul walking him to the bench. But you my teammate, yo.
LeBum James. Don't get me started on that, dude.
But, yo, if that's your boy, yo, that's like if Towson – play Delaware State and you got to fight one of my teammates, yo, I'm going to grab you up first, like, yo, chill out. We going to be all right, yo. Like, because we
banana
fans,
boat,
you know, like.
Banana boat, buddy.
But now, see, I would.
No homo.
During that time, then, we not friends. We're not friends. It's we're playing the game.
Very humble.
Man. After the game, you know, we chatted up or whatever the case may be. But at that point, you got to grab your teammate and let me grab my teammate so we can go ahead and go about our business. But
I'm with you on that. We ain't friends on the court.
He grabbed his dude and
we're
walked
not friends
him over
on the
to
court.
The bench. Like, right. I mean, so at that point in time, like, we're going against each other, so we shouldn't have that friendship type deal right now at that point. After the game, yeah, we go back to wherever it was, but during the game, you know, I'm trying to win. I'm trying to beat you in this game, man. And then you get into a fight with my teammate. I should grab my teammate, not grab you. But
well, thanks for letting me know that if we ever get in a fight on the court, you ain't got my back, fat dude.
Well, first of all, we're playing against each other. Like I said, I would grab my teammate and pull him away. That's what you're supposed to do. He should have grabbed his teammate and walked away.
Can you say that again with a little more aggression?
All the nights we done ate over each other's houses for nothing, huh?
he's really hurt by it right now. I think he struck a chord. He struck a chord.
Gave the kids Christmas gifts and everything. Means nothing just because of a basketball.
You cut me real deep just now, Shrek. You cut me real deep.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, man.
But that's what you're supposed to grab your teammates and walk away, not walk the man, damn near hold his hand and walk him to the bench. He almost walked him to the locker room if he could have.
Yeah, I feel you.
I was like, I don't know about that, man. He gonna come in the locker room like, yo, this is my teammate. What? Wait a minute. I thought he was teammate.
You gonna hit him with the TOS beat. That's my teammate.
Rondo, before the season started, said he had a whole different perspective on LeBron James. Before, he hated his guts. And then he said, now I got to know this guy. It's totally different, but now that might change again.
Rough. But yo, so for Shannon, I'm gonna get back to you since you joined us into about 30-40 minutes in. So how was homecoming? Got any homecoming stories?
Not that I can tell.
Not that you can
homecoming
tell.
Homecoming was good.
A lot of good time.
So, I'm getting old though.
Getting old, couldn't hang out like you used to.
Nah.
Mm.
I'm ready for Tauchi homecoming, though.
You going to homecoming next week?
Yep.
All right, I'll see you there. See you there. So that gets me into my next conversation. What's the ideal homecoming? Fat dude, I'll go to you first. What's the ideal homecoming of when you're 19 in college?
Ideal?
Yeah, like, okay, so, like, when we all think of homecoming, we all think of, you know, sports, football, some barbecue. Well, in my mind, I'll speak for myself. When I think of homecoming, I'm thinking of, you know, football, you know, eating, the bar, old friends. But when I think about when I was actually in college, like, homecoming didn't mean a goddamn thing. Like, when I was actually in college, because I was actually playing in the game, like, by the time the game was over, like, I was tired of shit. Like, I went home, grabbed some liquor, and chilled out. I didn't party that much.
You went to CVP.
Right.
So, yeah. CVP. So,
go ahead, fat dude.
So I had the opportunity to experience on both sides. So, I didn't play football right away when I got to Dell State. So I got to experience freshman and sophomore year of homecoming. That spring of my sophomore year, that's when I went out and started playing football. But I got to experience homecoming as not playing on a football team and playing on a football team. So experience homecoming, like you said, is just, you know, chopping it up, partying, drinking, you know, food. All of the barbecues and, you know, at the HBCUs, you know, they got fried fish sandwiches and all types of craziness. So that aspect was great. But then when you're playing football, it's different because you really don't feel like doing anything. You know, once the game is over with, you want to go back to the room. And that's kind of how I felt. But then we always went. And then on campus, everything was on campus, so we didn't have to go off the yard for parties and stuff like that. So the whole football team would go to the party. So luckily they had the party. We couldn't go to the concert because it was Friday night. We had to play on Saturday. So we went to the parties. We all went to the party at the same time, pissy drunk out of our mind and just had a good time. But, I mean, that's kind of ideal. I mean, it's not much to it, but, you know, and then as you get, you know, when you graduate and you come back, then that's when you want to be able to see people who you went to school with, who you graduated with, and meet and greet some new young people, you know, stuff like that. Like, ours is tomorrow, so I'll be heading out there tomorrow. So, and we, you know, being in a fraternity, it makes it even more better when you go back, because now I get to see all the old school from, like, 60s all the way up to, like, now. So, which is going to be great, man. So,
okay.
It's going to be pretty amazing, man.
Homecoming.
Honestly, man, I'm kind of in the same boat with you on this one. Like, it really didn't mean much to me because y'all were football players, so I hung out with y'all. And so after the games, like, y'all were, you know, y'all laid it down. So I went and, you know, just I would step out, have some drinks, and people watch, but, you know, it really wasn't that big of a deal to me. If I met somebody and had a little fun that night, that was a great night for me. But other than that, like, it was just a good night. Came out, support my dudes at the game, you know what I'm saying? Cheer y'all on, and that's about it, man.
Yeah, that's
okay.
A plus.
Shannon, what's your ideal homecoming situation?
Yeah, like, back in college, I don't remember homecoming being that big of a deal. But now, you know, it's just a good time with friends, catch up, hang out, especially a lot of my girls don't live in my area. So it's like our Flossy Posse girls trip reunion every year.
Yo, what?
Y'all never saw girls trip?
What's he?
Flossy Posse from the girls trip with Jada and Tiffany Haddish.
We a bunch of straight dudes right here. We ain't watching girls trip.
So none of y'all saw girls trip?
No. Why would we ever do a thing like that?
I saw.
Anyway.
A lot of good looking women in there.
For those of us that's not married, no, we ain't see it.
It's like, you know, like our girls trip reunion, get together, hang out, get dressed together, lay in the hotel room together, drink, party. But I don't
next
remember.
Next time y'all laying in a hotel room together, let me know. I'll be at that girl's trip. Let me watch that movie.
Hey, man, don't go Trump on us.
Well, that's what homecoming is for me. It gets harder every year, though.
Yeah.
Drunk all weekend. It took me all week to recover.
Yeah, homecoming is a good time. It's mainly about the people you meet. And as you get older, it definitely slows down. Because when you're younger, man, I mean, y'all being too political, yo, homecoming was about getting drunk and getting some ass. But now when you go back.
I thought I said that.
I don't know
what
homecoming was.
I mean, that's all girl trip was.
I thought y'all were
trying to get some meat.
I thought y'all were too tired after balling all day.
I mean, I was faithful in a faithful relationship, so I mean, I
don't remember.
So, you couldn't even say that without laughing.
I was in a long term relationship. So
I don't remember you missing not a party, beach bum.
Yeah, I always miss the parties, yo. You know the worst part of my college career is when I first went to college and I had a girlfriend back in high school, I was at that dumb phase where, you know, this is when we were still using landlines, so people didn't have cell phones. So I used to get on the landline in my dorm room and talk to my girlfriend. I used to be able to call her because we had free long distance in the dorm. So I used to be able to call her, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just laying on the phone with you. And I used to pretend like I fell asleep and covered the phone with pillows and stuff.
At least.
And sneak out and go to Casamia's at the party.
Oh, yeah, Casamia's.
Yeah, I used to bounce at Casamia's. It was a good time. It was a good time. But, yeah, homecoming's a good time. But nowadays it's just about seeing people you used to. But I tell you what, the weirdest thing is, like, if you're not really friends with the people that you used to know in college, like, the conversation is so weird now that we're old. So it's like, hey, what's up, man? See you in a while. Yeah, yeah, how you been? Been good. What you been up to? You know, married with kids, working.
Yeah.
That's it. Conversation
stops right there. Yeah, exactly. Well, good seeing you, brother, and just keep on moving.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
Because
with me,
they falling off or not?
Yeah. With me, I hit the campus. I hit the bookstore, grab up some new gear from out of there. I get the plot, and I'm on the plot for the whole day. Everybody comes to the plot after the game. Everybody comes to the plot. So I don't need to go anywhere. I sit on the plot. We got a tent out there. We sit underneath the tent, and everybody comes to the plot. Because that's where everybody at. That's where all the fraternities at. And everybody comes there and mingle, party, and drink, and then go from plot to plot drinking the juice. You know, get the
so
juice.
So does anybody else go to the
juice.
Actual game?
That was going to be my great question, Shannon. How come people don't go to the games? Except for
well,
people
I don't
who want
plan
to
on going to the game. Honestly, I only went in college because I knew the people playing.
Yo, that's worse, yo. I hate black people.
I know your ass ain't going to the game because you ain't playing, gun. But what's the point?
No, I always go to the game. I'm usually one that gets yelled at, like, yo, why are you leaving the party? I was like, because there's a football game on. And they're like, oh, fuck the football game. Like, y'all forget I used to play football.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. I'm not gonna lie. My first 2 years, I ain't go to no games on homecoming. Then I played, so I was there, so I didn't have to go. I was already there. Then going back to homecoming, I didn't go to no games. Man, I ain't paying no money to go back in there. Damn.
So this
you
is my first
money.
Time going to homecoming since I graduated.
Huh?
This is my first time going to homecoming since I graduated.
All right.
Yeah,
if you ain't Jamal Jackson, Denarius McCain, and all them other dudes that went to the NFL, them coaches don't know who you are. Especially if it's a bunch of new coaches. Now if it was like Braxton and them, you get in the game for free. But all them other coaches, man, none of them coaches that are there know who I am. I wasn't that dude. I played, but I wasn't that dude.
That's why I go to a white school. Yo, white people still remember the black people.
Right, that's exactly why they remember you. You stick out like a sore thumb.
Exactly.
You're a 6 foot black dude on campus. They remember you. Hey, didn't you do something? Yeah, that's what I did.
I still
get time. I love my HBCU, man.
I know you do.
I love my HBCU, man.
Oh, Cheryl yelling at me because she mad because she ain't been able to get on the sideline because only I go. She ain't put. She ain't put no blood sweat tears. All you do is Cheryl shy.
Oh, man.
She getting mad at me.
Yeah,
people that hating it. I can't nobody hear you on the radio, nigga.
We can't hear you, Cheryl. Stop hating.
So homecoming coming up. Homecoming is always good. So next question. Kind of off topic, but I was having this conversation at work with a couple guys, and it's a difficult subject. So Shannon, I want you to answer this question first.
Okay.
Can you date a married man?
Oh, Lisa.
Can I?
Yeah, like is it not would is it possible?
Should I or can I?
Like, no, I didn't say should I because I'm not the I'm not the police on.
You're not the moral police.
But is it okay? So like, when you go, if you're dating if you're dating somebody, there's a term for that. Like, there's a feeling. Hey, I'm going out on a date. I'm dating this person. Can you date a married person?
Yeah.
Really? I don't think it's possible. I totally disagree. How can you date someone that's married?
How can you?
Wait, the question is, what's the intent?
But see, that comes back to the question of dating. Like, what's the intent of dating?
Well, like, what is their the issue is it's on the person who's married and what they can, can't, and what they're willing to do. If they're willing to be all in, like, what restrictions would there be? I know people, you know, who have dated married men who are more available than unattached single men. It just depends on what their situation and mentality is. Now, should you? Probably not. You know, is it going to end well? Probably not.
The
but
question
can
is,
you? Yeah.
That's an oxymoron, though. How can somebody who's married be available? Like, the two don't go together.
I mean,
right. Like, the question isn't, can you fuck a married man? Because I already know what that answer is. And I'm going to.
I know what you're asking me, and the answer is still yes.
Wow.
I mean, can you be married in your situation and date somebody else? Probably not. But I know married men who date, don't come home till the next day or for a couple of days at a time, go out of town, you know, with the side check, you know, do everything and more that people, non-married people would in a relationship. It just depends.
Them dudes not married. They got roommates.
I mean.
That's a roommate.
It happens.
That's rough. So, Javiana, you think, what is your view on the subject? Is it possible to date a married woman?
Nah, that's complications and issues. Unless they're in an open relationship, unless they have that understanding.
Are you dating, or are you just the other person in the relationship at that point?
I mean, it depends. I mean, if you okay with being a side piece, then you can date.
Then are you dating, or are you just a side piece? Like I guess that's my question. What's the definition of dating?
Okay, so we're saying dating is, you know, going out with somebody with the intent to get to know them for the purposes of, like, a bigger picture, like marriage. Then, no, you can't truly date somebody by definition because they're already taken. Like, you can never truly have them. They can never be yours 100%. But if marriage ain't the end game, then damn right, you can date whoever the hell you want to date at any given time.
Okay. But what if they're on the way out of their current marriage?
I mean, I feel like that's something people say just so they can keep doing whatever the hell they want to do. Like, yeah, I'm a leaver.
A lot of times it is.
I thought I was going to leave her. I'm probably.
Yeah, a lot of times it is, but it still happens. You gotta understand.
So, like,
I
know a dude now.
Hold on, John. Let's go ahead. Get a joint on.
You know, forever is a very long time, and you'll be surprised how your idea of marriage changes once you've been married for a while. And, like, you know, not everybody's marriage and relationship is the same. So, you know, there are definitely some people out there doing them who appear and act more available and just as available as a single person, and they date. Mm-hmm. Sometimes their spouse is down with it, sometimes they're not.
But in my head, though, as somebody who's been divorced, if I'm not there with the person I'm supposed to be with, then there's no point in me being with that person. I'm wasting my time and wasting that person's time, too.
I agree, but that's in your head. I know people who have had old married boyfriends, and you would never know.
No, I know people like that too. I know people like that too. They make it happen some kind of way.
I'm not talking about side chick. Like, you're not hiding when you go out in public. You meet
right.
in their family. You going on trips. You meet in their kids, and they married.
Holy smokes!
Man, what type of people y'all be hanging out?
You got a whole second family out here. What are they? Clearly, I'm doing something wrong in life.
He'd
be surprised.
He on that A-time tip right there.
Gunnan, what side of this argument were you arguing?
Hold on, I'm going to get Fat Dude's opinion real quick. Javiani just dropped off. So, Fat Dude, what's your opinion on the matter? Do you think dating a married woman is that ideal possible?
I mean, anything is possible.
Like, can you date a married woman? Not you specifically, but just in general.
Yeah, people do it all the time. Like you said, I mean, some people really take it seriously and really go hard with it and be out in public. And be, at that point, you're dating. When you're hiding it, then that's just like some side stuff. But if you're actually out there in public, you're introducing this person to your family, you're actually dating at that point, in my mind anyway, because you're actually taking this person places and you're not hiding it at all, knowing that you're married, but you're not hiding it.
Yeah, I mean, my opinion on sex is that I don't think it's possible to date a married woman, because I always looked at dating as you're trying each other out to see if it leads to marriage. Now, if you get into a marriage and you decide to step out of that marriage, whether it's because you're in an open marriage or because you're unhappy or just because you're a dirtball, I don't think you're then now dating other people, because my definition of dating is working towards marriage. I think at that point you're just meeting new people that you get along with to have sex with and curb your sexual urges. I don't think who's happily – go ahead.
No, but what I was going to say is to that fact is, okay, so this that person that does that, what if – okay, people get married. Sometimes it's for the wrong reason. Sometimes it's for the right reason. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it don't. But what if that situation, right, and they find that person that does certain things that the other person doesn't do. So now they found kind of that other piece that didn't – that doesn't fall with the other person, so now they kind of geared towards that, and that's what they're working towards anyway. Then eventually, when they come back and drop off the paperwork, leave the Dear John letter, and then roll out.
So why not just roll with the paperwork? Like, why wait? Why wait to pull the trigger on the paperwork?
I don't know.
Well, now
some people
getting into the morality of it. You're getting into
right.
the morality of it and not the logistics of can you. And I would say, what about all those people who end up marrying their side chick or meet the next person that they're going to marry while they're still in their current relationship? If you're defining dating by working towards a marriage, then by definition, that's still dating while you're married.
Yeah, I know a couple people like that.
Come on, man.
Yeah, come on. I know a few people like that.
Sure. Hey, hold on. Okay,
hey,
my wife.
I know a couple
people
wanted to get involved in the conversation.
Oh, here come the wife. Here come the wife.
She just waved me off.
Found their new wife when
marriage.
They were still with the old wife.
Yeah, I know a couple people like that too.
So it's possible.
And Shannon's point of view saying that, hey, you know, something ain't work out. You know, you're in the process of getting a divorce, and you meet somebody you really like. But I guess from a male perspective, okay, not even from a male perspective, from just my perspective, like, I've gotten married, you know, if this don't work out, I don't think I'm ever getting married again. I wouldn't call anything I do after I sign a divorce paper
Preach.
Dating. I'm honest.
Damn right. damn right. Co-signing
Sad.
On that one.
I'm going straight for the steak.
Giving all appetizers.
Yeah. But hey, I just wanna introduce. We got another call on the line. 757. I think you called from Chesapeake. What's good? You on the off ramp? How you doing tonight?
Yo, what up?
Hey, not much, my brother. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good.
So you called
like
the
I got
side
a
number, so.
Yeah, you know I had to come with the undercover number.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yo,
you got anything to comment on?
Yeah, I got to speak up on this one. Being a
All
married
right.
man, I think I can give something to the situation.
Okay. Go
the
ahead.
Question you said was, "Can you? You can do whatever you want."
Right.
But in this situation, does doing whatever you want, is that good? And I think you have to weigh out the cons and the pros of what you do, right? So I can do that, but what does, historically, what does it show for when married men go out and date, or vice versa, married women go out and date? What did that lead to? You know, break down the family structure. Kids don't have a, you know, which is definitely an easier way to grow up, having a two-person household, mother and father in the house. So I would say that most people, it might sound good for the moment, but when you talk about the big picture, you know what I'm saying, 30, 40 years down the road, that small, that 5 or 6 years that you get, you know what I'm saying, because you got something new, the damage you might be doing to a son, daughter, you know, those relationships that are meaningful. I heard in the prior discussion we were talking about, when you go to homecoming, you see people and it's like, hey, what's up, and you pass on by, right? Those relationships ain't what they used to be. But the relationships you could affect when you step out your marriage, those relationships are going to have your whole life. And those are the people you're imparting, you know, a standard of how they conduct themselves. Even when you're gone, they're going to look at you as the measure. So, you know, too often in the society we live in today, people do things for what feels good right now. And you're right, marriage ain't easy. It does take a sacrifice. Sometimes once you're in it, it does get real. But anything worth happening is going to be hard. It doesn't come easy. But the journey, I know I sound like somebody who's like a marriage,
yeah,
like,
man,
pro-marriage, like, but I got to keep it 100 because
that
so
man
many
dropping
that knowledge.
I
agree with saying, brother. Keep talking. Keep
so
talking.
So many people
keep
that
talking.
I interact
keep
with right
yeah.
now,
and that knowledge.
So
I know,
many people I interact
right
with right now is,
I'm call,
is
I'm call
for
you,
the
I'm
moment.
I'm going to call you Diamond
what?
For the night. Diamond Ben. That's going to be your nickname for the night. Because I know you can't get your real name out. So I'm going to call you
he dropping that
Diamond
knowledge,
Ben the night.
But
yo, I
so
know,
many people.
I know the wife is next to you with the knife to your throat. Like, you better call in.
Nah. And like, I let
she
got to
act.
Like,
she
got to
act. Ain't no
like,
knife.
Well,
she got to
go
act
upstairs.
Right there.
And then I was like, she was like, no, can I? She was like, can I come? I'm like, you can come up if you want to, but I'm passionate about this stuff, man, because we're so much into what feels good now. And can we be cool, or, you know, it's just so much for now. Let me get high for now. Let me do what feels good for now. And we don't think about the long-term repercussions of our actions. And so, yeah, could I? Yeah, I could. Do I want to look my son in the face 10 years from now when I ain't at home with him every day? When he comes from school and he's like, yo, I wanted to talk to you about this, but guess what? You know what I'm saying? You ain't in the house no more. I ain't doing that. I got to be
real talk.
Hey,
Benz, I'm gonna let Fat Dude get in. Fat Dude, go ahead, jump in.
Jump in what? That brother was dropping knowledge.
Oh,
about,
okay,
man.
My bad.
No, I thought he was trying to jump in.
But that's what he's saying is pretty much what I live by anyway, because it's one thing that me personally, I can't see myself waking up somewhere else without my boys. I just can't do it. It just don't feel right. I just can't do it. And in my mind, I always think, yo, how did my pops just roll like that? How do you do that? And then when I think about other people who's there, I'm like, how do you just do that? Like, how can you just get up and just roll like that? Now, if it's a hostile situation, it's something different. But if it's something that, you know, could be fixable and you can fix it, why not fix it? But if it's hostile and y'all in there fighting and stabbing each other every day, that's something different. But, you know, if it's something that
stabbing
you can fix, man,
other?
Why just fix it?
Stabbing each other every
some
day.
I agree 100%. That's why I started off with, can you date when you're married? Yes. Should you? Absolutely not. And two, I don't think that a situation has to be hostile for it to be unhealthy. And I think it's a mistake to think that, you know, you have to both be in the same house to raise your kids together. My parents got divorced and I saw them, you know, all the time. Both were still fully involved, still are, you know. So, I don't know. Sometimes a situation can be unhealthy without being abusive or hostile. That doesn't mean you have to ghost your kids.
True.
Yeah.
No,
let
me clarify. I never said that it can't work in a single parent household. Never said that. But if you make a commitment and you're married.
Hey, turn on the speaker. Hey, Diamond Benz, turn on the speaker on your computer, yo. We can hear the us
on my
what? Each other in the back. On the back. Is you on the speaker or you on your computer?
No, I'm on the phone.
Right.
You hear me?
No, I understand what you said, and I completely agree. I was just saying, I think it was Kajabiani when somebody said, how could like somebody just leave? And I was just saying, just because adults aren't together doesn't mean that you have to disappear from a child's life. Like, y'all can be not together and you still be present in a child's life.
True,
so, like,
right.
One decision to leave the parent, and the other to leave the child.
Females make that shit hard.
Let me just say this. The question was, can you date? And so, I feel like anything with structure, you can articulate and have communication, and if everybody's on the same page, there's a potential that it might work. But most of the time, let's just be real about it. If I'm dating somebody and I'm married, everybody ain't in the loop on everything that's going on. So with that reality, when it breaks the structure of the family, it's not going to be on good terms. So trust and believe, my wife catching me dating somebody on a low, it ain't going to be, hey, come show up and there's going to be some hurt feelings there. So
that was my statement. It's not really should you date somebody. It's can you date somebody? Because if you're saying that, yo, I'm married and I'm dating this other person, then, like, I don't know if it was Shannon or Fat Dude, then you're not, like, hiding it. Like, if you're dating someone, you're not hiding anything. So if you're dating someone and it's on the low, you're not really considered dating. You're just having a conversation with somebody that you enjoy company with that you're cheating your wife. That's not really dating. Like, I didn't – when I was dating my wife, I wasn't hiding. We were just hanging out.
Yo, it is a very thin line when you marry. As far as I don't care if it's somebody that you have a once-in-a-while conversation with, there's limits to that shit. I respect to the same respect I give to my wife is the same respect she gonna give to me. She ain't gonna be having no, you know, sidebar conversations.
Well, you don't even know that.
Oh, I know that. I know that. That's one thing.
If you're married, I don't think the line is that thin. I think that's a clear definition of how you should be interacting outside your marriage.
What do you mean? Shannon, break that down. What do you mean?
So he said when you're married, it's a real thin line, and I was just saying I don't think that the line is that thin. Like, I think that everybody has boundaries, and, like, you know what boundaries you have within the confines of your marriage, right?
Yeah. Well, everybody expects boundaries, but you don't know what boundaries can be crossed and will be crossed until they do. Like, you go into it with the best hope possible that everyone's going to be great, and you just hope that it happens, and you just don't know if it will or if it won't be crossed until it happens, and you just deal with it when it happens.
So let me just say this, and
everybody who's married or been in a serious relationship can attest to this. What I mean by a thin line is what has been successful for me is I don't put myself in no situation where I can be tempted. So I might have the greatest intentions of, oh, hey, you know, I have these little conversations or, you know, we have a mutual friend and, you know, every time I come and kick it with you, she's there and, you know, it's just, you know, very friendly. At the same time, we both know it could be a look, It can be a smile. It can be something that sets off what is instinctual in our minds to move on. And so I don't even put myself in that situation. So dating, being cool, whatever, with somebody of the opposite sex, that's just something I can't put myself in. You know, and that's what's led to me, you know what I'm saying, 11 years, ain't never cheated, never got no number. Because, you know, if you put yourself in that situation, there's a good chance you're upping the percentage that you're going to do something you might regret. And then we go back to, is it worth doing that? I'm never make a...
You get numbers, yo. You getting screen names, yo.
What's that?
Nowadays, you get numbers, yo. You just get a screen name, yo.
That's how you know how long I've been out the game, yo. That's how long you know I've been out the game.
It ain't no more let me get your numbers. What's your Instagram? What's your Facebook?
Yeah.
I want to move the conversation a little bit forward, cuz I want to have the next question. And Javiani dropped off. So, Shannon, I'm going to give this one to you. So, Ariana Grande, right? We all know the story. Well, I hope we all know the story. If we didn't know the story, let me tell you this. Ariana Grande dated Big Sean. Big Sean dropped the Whack album. They broke up. Ariana Grande dated. Yo, who's got chips or something in the background? I'm going to have to mute one of y'all. So Diamond Benz dropped off. So that was him. All right. So it's just me, Fat Dude, and Shannon. All right. So back to the subject. Ariana Grande dated Big Sean, didn't work out. They dropped off. He dropped an album about her, it was whack. Then she dated Mac Miller. Mac Miller dropped a whack album. They broke up. She started dating Pete Davidson, dude from Saturday Night Live. Mac Miller then dropped a great album, killed himself, and Pete Davidson dyed his hair blonde. So my question to you, Shannon, as the only female on this call is a man committing suicide in the name of love the greatest gift you can give to a woman?
No.
Yeah, I feel like every woman would be flattered over a dude that would kill themselves for them.
I've had one attempt and one threaten, and it makes you feel like you have all of the responsibility on you. There's nothing flattering about it, and they're kind of unstable in the first place. Like, he, you know, struggled with a drug addiction and stuff like that, and she tried to help him while they were together.
Fad dude, what you think? I think that the fact that homie killed himself, like, she can't, like, she couldn't look her boyfriend in the face, like, yeah, you say you love me, but this dude died for me.
She said she can't even turn to God because her dress was so short at Aretha Franklin's funeral. Everybody made fun of her.
Hold on, Shannon. That fat you hop in.
Listen, man. First of all, I ain't killing myself. Nobody, goddamn. But second of all, I don't think that's flattering. That's just stupid. And then for somebody who thinks that's good, and what the hell, brother? But she's taking it harder on herself because she feel at fault for that, for him doing that. And why would you want that guilt on your shoulders? Why would you want that on your conscience? Because now everybody's blaming her for what he did, you know? And it couldn't have been, it probably wasn't even about her. Who knows what it was about? Who knows why he did it? But people are making it, the media is making it, right, but that's what I'm saying, that's the media. The media is making everything about her, the media.
Well, we don't know.
So we don't know, right, but that's what I'm saying, we don't know who, we don't know why he did it. We have no proof of it. Right. But see, that's, I mean, I can't.
Didn't his manager say it wasn't her fault and, like, she tried to help him?
Well, because Max been on drugs for a while. He's always rapped about drugs. But I'm not saying this is all facts. I'm just saying, like, to boost – okay, not necessarily on the Ariana Grande, Mac Miller. But we all know, okay, I'll say this from my perspective. Growing up, I've always been told you got to boost a woman's ego for her to get interested in you. You might go try to holler at a woman. She might say no. But if you get her flowers, you buy her a drink, you're persistent, you continually boost her ego, and then eventually she just breaks down and she's like, okay, I'll at least give you a shot.
No.
So my question is dying for her the greatest boost of all time?
No, that's like when you got it makes me feel responsible.
Because if the man is gone, how the hell he's supposed to know if he boosted her confidence because he killed himself?
Well, he won't know, but she's going to break out with her boyfriend like, yeah, you say you love me, but this one died for me. Obviously, he loved me more than you did.
I mean, if that ain't some, you can catch her a little bit.
If that ain't some Shakespeare stuff, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's the Romeo and Juliet aspect. It really is. It's just dumb. But it really is.
I like Ariana Grande, and I want to see her win.
You want to see her win? Man. Why? She killed Mac Miller. And she's going to kill
people. I don't even know. What song does he have?
Who?
Mac Miller.
Oh, he's got about 4 or 5 albums.
He's more of an underground type guy. He was on one of her remix though, right? Yeah, he was on. That's how they met on a remix. One of them.
Which remix?
I don't know. I don't listen to her, so
there's
one of them. I don't know.
What song does Ariana Grande? Her music ain't no good.
She got God as a Woman. She got Dangerous Woman. She was on that song with Nicki and another girl.
So whatever her first album, came out, he's on that because that's how they met. He was on her song.
Okay.
Because that's what kind of boosted him to introduce him to her fans, which is the pop world, because he was an underground rapper. Like, if you wasn't up on rap and it wasn't on underground rap, you wouldn't know nothing about it.
Yeah,
he wasn't on no
like
major
every...
label.
I'm blaming her, yo, because everybody she dates goes downhill, yo. Big Sean.
I like Big Sean, and I like I Don't Fuck With You.
Well, see, here's the thing.
There's a lot of females you can add to that list.
See, here's the thing, man.
And then your career goes in the toilet. There's a lot of women on that list.
Yeah, right. You see, the thing is, man, with the industry, that whole industry, acting, that's a weird situation, man. They date each other back and forth. They pass each other around back and forth. It's just weird, man. And then, you know, they definitely hiding stuff, man, because that dude, Pete Davidson, the way he looked like he was strung out when they showed him on the awards, man. That dude looked like
he had a couple
needles in his arms, huh?
He has lupus.
Oh.
So they say.
He has lupus?
He has
well,
a lot
that boy looked like he. That boy looked like he shoved a couple rocks in his nose before he went on that daggone award show. And when I first started seeing him on Saturday Night Live, even on Wildin' Out, he didn't look like that. This dude's eyes was bloodshot red. And he looked like he had a bunch of makeup on to cover up some baggage under his eyes.
Yeah, from his autoimmune disease.
Mm. Well, first of all, Nick Cannon got lupus. He don't look like that. Nick Cannon got lupus. He don't look like that. He don't look like he all cracked out.
Yeah,
Nick Cannon got lupus.
Yes. So they say.
Hollywood.
You know that's
Well, at least something credible. At least he ain't dying over overdose because everybody in the industry dies over overdose.
Did you just call lupus credible?
Well,
I need a drink.
It's something other than somebody dying from an overdose.
Incredible.
Yo, give me,
give me the other credible death. Hold on, I want to explore this topic. Give me all credible deaths, Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry. Davidson has all in the same family, though.
Huh?
Pete Davidson has Crohn's, but it's all, you know, all those autoimmune diseases are in, like, the same family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just like, they said. Yeah,
right. Yeah, I got Crohn's. I got Crohn's on my neck to get right, dying. I'm sorry.
You stupid, yo. That's just like they said, my man, what's my man name? Prodigy said that man died from a hard-boiled egg. How do you choke? How do you choke on a egg? Come on, man.
Yeah,
so this man shoved a whole egg in his throat and just choked on the damn egg.
Try to swallow that thing whole.
Yeah.
No, hold on.
Right. They wanted us to believe that this man was choked on an egg. Come on.
We have a bad habit of believing everything they put on TV. We got to stop doing.
I don't believe
real
talk.
Yeah, one of the most embarrassed things I've ever done. Well, that ever happened to me because I laugh at everything.
You choked on an egg.
I was talking to a homo. But yeah, I was talking to a fellow accountant. They had bought Hardee's biscuits, like biscuit sandwiches for the office.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, pause, man. These hearty biscuits is thick, yo. I need to get some orange juice or something, yo. These things are dry out. And dude was like, yeah, my dad choked and died on a Hardee's biscuit. And I started dying laughing because I thought he was joking, but he was 100% serious.
Are you serious?
So he choked on a thick ass biscuit.
His dad died on a Hardee's biscuit, B.
And no water, nothing for that man to drink. He was choking on a biscuit.
Yeah. Them Hardee's biscuits to kill you.
But see, that's why you're supposed to pick that. You're supposed to break a piece off before you start biting into the dagger. Because if that biscuit dry, man, you can't eat that thing, man. You can't eat that.
Like shoving a whole mouthful of crackers in
you. You just bite the biscuit. You don't break a piece off.
I break a piece off. If it's a biscuit, I break a piece off first to make sure it ain't dry.
Apparently, that's biscuit eating etiquette that I didn't know about. Goddamn.
All right,
well,
so yeah,
let me grab a pen and pencil. Like, tell me how to truly eat a biscuit. Because clearly, I've been doing it wrong.
Go ahead, fat dude.
No, I was going to say, well, apparently we've been eating bananas the wrong way, too. We're supposed to eat it from the other side, not the top side. We fill the thing up. We're supposed to eat it from the other side.
Right.
I'm not getting in this conversation with three men on the phone call and just one lady.
I
was talking about biscuits. I did not bring up bananas at all. I'm just saying.
I will only talk to Shannon about eating bananas just because I feel like it's a And I look at Shannon like a sister, so that's a little bit uncomfortable, but at least she's female. I'm not going to have a conversation about how to eat a banana on the World Wide Web.
Switch!
Hey, bro.
That's what it's about, man.
Having
a good time, bro.
Go ahead
and
tell the world how you eat a banana.
I have no idea.
Shannon, how do you eat a banana?
The world may never know.
Right.
Shannon, don't answer that.
I don't eat bananas.
You don't eat bananas?
No.
Yo, I saw a video of a spider coming out of a banana. No. It's kind of scarred me for life, yo.
Oh, that's disgusting.
But yeah, so, hey, what y'all think about this Saudi dude getting murdered, yo?
Who?
Oh, the
Saudi
dude,
they
cut up with a bone saw in Turkey.
Oh, the reporter?
Yeah.
Bring me up to speed on that, man. I don't be watching news. News is depressing.
All right, so what happened was this dude who's from Saudi Arabia, he lived in America, he worked for the Washington Post, right? He wanted to get married to this chick but he had to go to Turkey to get the actual paperwork so that he could legally marry her. But he's written bad things about the prince of Saudi Arabia, so when he showed up in Turkey, there was a bunch of dudes in the room. They cut him up into a bunch of little bits and pieces. They used a body double to walk around the streets.
And now they're saying that, hey, it was a scuffle, and they don't know what happened to him.
Well, no, so first they said he left on his own. Then they said they killed him. Now they're saying it was a scuffle and it was an accident.
Yeah, they're playing these shell games with us. They're playing these shell games just because they're trying to find another excuse to go to war. This is like the first domino. Like,
exactly.
I wish they would just fight and just get it over with. Like, let's stop playing these games around here. Like, we know y'all don't like each other. We know Turkey and Iran want a reason to come and bomb us. So, like, let's just get the fighting over with. Real.
Yeah. That's what I said, but that's why I don't watch the news, man, because it's so much he say, she say. And then each platform has their own story to tell, which is crazy to me. I was in Ohio, and I'm watching the news. There was an accident with a Ferris wheel at a county fair in Ohio. So on one news station, one news station said three people were dead and four people were hurt. The next news station said 10 people were hurt, two people were dead, and it was just like all different. So who do you support to believe? Like, that's crazy. Like, it's so many different narratives that people just tell, and then some people believe everything. Like, you can't believe all this shit. That's why I don't even watch it no more, because it's like,
the problem with news today is, number one, everybody has an agenda. That's number
mm-hmm.
one. And number two, everybody's in a rush to get the news first to the
yep.
point to where they ignore getting the news right. Like, you
yep.
can't get the news right anymore because everybody's trying to break the story. So
yep.
as they're trying
sure,
to break the story, they're just putting out whatever, and they're putting out propaganda
mm-hmm.
instead of putting out the truth.
Is that really new? And is that really all news and media?
It's
yep.
not all news and media, because you can listen to NPR.
90%.
90%. I don't believe that. I believe most
propaganda
news
is a strong word for 90%.
Yeah,
and
I blame
Ariana Grande.
That's my opinion on it.
Yeah, because even out here, like say for instance, out here we had a matter of fact, out there in Sycamore Ridge, maybe last year there was a some kids was fighting and something happened. One of the kids got hurt or something like something happened. So, but the news said it was a shootout. There was no shootout. The people who were actually there actually came over and so was like, there was no shootout. These people were saying it was a shootout, but the Channel 10 News and National News only saying it was a shootout. I was like, I've lived in Pennsylvania for a while. I've never seen a shootout in that part of Pennsylvania ever. That's why I don't watch it, because it's so informative, and then, you know, you just got these people arguing back and forth, and then you don't know what's real, what's fake. They show looped videos of stuff that's happening, and you don't know what's really happening because they're just showing a loop over and over over again. You see the same people walking past. Huh?
Like, it's called programming for a reason. It's called television programming, news programming for a reason.
Right.
So what do y'all think about that white lady not letting that black dude go to his apartment? I'm running through topics now because we got to finish up.
He should have poked her in her eyeballs and just walked on in.
Shannon, what you think?
What do you mean? What do I think?
Do you think she had it right because he didn't show her the keypad that showed the in his apartment? Like, from the original video, it didn't look like that he showed her any proof that he actually lived there. So, like, if she was walking out and he was walking and she was like, hey, well, I don't know if you really live here or not. Do you got the little key fob to get in? Like, should she really show him, or just because she walked out as he walked in, should she just trust that he lived there? Because that could be dangerous if you live in a building. Or does she just want some black meat?
At some point, didn't he open the door with his own key and she continued to call the police?
Well, yeah, that was bad. But I'm talking about the initial instant. Like, was she wrong from the initial instant if she's going out to walk her dogs? And she's walking up, she's walking out the door, and somebody goes and grabs the door, is like, oh, yeah, I'm going in. And she's like, whoa, I don't know if you live here or not.
No, I don't think that's wrong.
Fellas?
I'm not answering that. Her. Right, wrong, or indifferent. I've had that happen to me a couple times. I'm a grown-ass man. If I'm paying, I bought my place, these are my condos, I don't owe anybody an explanation. And I'm not going to give anybody an explanation for walking because I'm a big black dude. They can kiss my ass on that one.
I mean, that's kind of like at work. You're not supposed to let people in behind you. You have to scan your own badge, secure access. I don't think anything's wrong with, you know, I live in a condo. You know, I don't think anything's wrong with making sure that the person justly has access to the building.
In my office, there's a security desk for that, and that's their job. Like, that's their job. In my office, when I badge in, if I have my badge, I badge in, and I get in the building, there's a security desk right there. If I forget my badge, don't have my badge, I have to check in at the desk. There's no difference if you don't have that, then who are you to ask me? How do I know you live here, lady? You could be a random dog walker for all I know. You could be a random dog walker. Doesn't matter.
She's walking out the door, not walking in.
It doesn't. She could be somebody's dog walker. Somebody could have hired her to come and get the dog. She may not live there.
If there's a key fob, then it means it's secure access, right?
I get that. What I'm saying is I don't owe anybody an explanation to walk into my own damn property.
No, you don't. Okay, I would have just closed the door on you, and you would have had to let your own self in.
And that's fine, and I would have.
I wouldn't have said
two words to you. Like I would have used my key fob, opened the door, and went about my business.
As a woman who lives by myself, like, I don't think anything's wrong with that. Like, once he did say he lived there or showed his key or his fob or whatever, I think she should have left it alone. And I don't know, you know, I don't think it was a call the police type issue.
I agree with that. She's entitled to ask the same way he's entitled to ignore her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. But we'll talk. Well, we're going to talk more about this next week, man. It was finally good to hear all y'all voices. I'm about to put y'all on mute one by one, so I'm going to pull you, fat dude. Any last thing you want to say to the people?
No.
All right, I'm putting you on mute then. Shannon, as we close up, any last thing you want to say to the people?
Go TU and save me a hot dog at the Sigma tent.
All right, make sure you text me so we can link up. Javiani, any last thing you want to say to the people?
My name is N.O. going forward. Thank you for coming out. God bless you and good night.
Yeah, buddy. So the N.O. Shannon Fat Dude, man, it's been a pleasure tonight. Man, it was good, man. We got like 2 hours in, man. It was a pleasure to talk to all y'all. It was a pleasure to get some good conversation again, talking about all types of topics. I got some more topics we didn't get into, but it was good to finally talk some sports, talk about some of the whole male-woman aspect in relationships. As I sit here and watch and take my cornrows out in Boston College, whoop Miami's ass. But y'all have a good night, man. Thanks for joining us on the off-ramp, all of y'all out there. Thanks for joining us. I know there's some phone calls that I couldn't get out, that I couldn't get on. Shout out to my man Diamond Benz for calling in and telling us how much he loved his wife. And I know she probably got that shanked up to him. And thanks to everybody that, you know, that tried to get on, I couldn't get to. And we'll catch y'all next week, man. It'll be either Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, depending on what time I got in, man. It's good to be back, man. Y'all be safe. Enjoy your night, man. And we'll holler at y'all later on the off-ramp. God bless.